Hello and welcome to the Prowess Climbing Coaching Training Podcast. Despite bouldering for 20 years, up to about 70 plus, I've never actually gone through a regimented training program before. That is, until now. Restricted by lockdown but driven by a desire to get straight back on my projects at the first opportunity, this time is right to finally get the fingerboard chalky, stretch out the TheraBands and to train at home. As a professional climbing coach, this seemed a great opportunity to look at this as a case study, a first-hand experience of completing a training program as a climber. And so I've decided to record a weekly podcast to keep you updated on how it's all going. The inspiration for the program has come from my friend Sally Lyle from Far Out Pursuits, who is also working on a very different training program of her own. She'll be joining me every week so we can chart progress, see if our exercises are working, that the sets and the reps are right, and crucially, to see whether we are sticking to our respective plans. More information will be available through my website, prowesscoaching.co.uk, where you'll be able to see the program I'm going through and even download templates to design your own, as well as accessing other resources to help you as a climber. So sit back, relax, and let us do the hard work and enjoy the next episode.
Hi, Pete.
Hello.
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 How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Exhausted,
good.
But
have
good.
You had a successful week?
It's been good. I'm going with 50% good and 50% less good. No, the training itself went well. The problems I had were mainly logistical things. Like I learned that the problem with saying that you're going to go for a run on a Tuesday is that if it's hammering it down on a Tuesday, then you are running in torrential rain, and I was wet up to my knees at one point. And my head touch battery died, which was less than impressive. So it's like logistical problems like that. But actually, the workout itself over the 4 days was absolutely spot on.
Brilliant. Okay.
A bit of tweaking.
So I was thinking in the next sort of 20 minutes or so, we'd have a chat about specifically some key tips and things that we found from the first week of our training, how we are intending to change the training for next week, and what we found, which was really important, being that it came from ourselves, so informed changes in and refinements, but connected to intrinsic feedback from us having a go at these different things. Does that make sense to you?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Amazing. So you're saying you had 50% good, 50%, let's go with less successful?
Yeah.
Do you want to dive in? What were the logistic things then that went wrong for you?
Well, Monday's session was the first one, and that was a power strength training, and that was supposed to be in the kitchen using the Beastmaker that I've got in the kitchen and the rings. And the problem that I had was that I left it until after the kids had gone to bed, which was a bit of a problem because then I ran out of time. So that was needs a bit of tweaking. The exercises themselves were fine. It's just that it was just a bit late in the day. And then, like I say, Tuesday was a run. Tuesday was gopping wet. Some logistical problems like weather and head torches, which died halfway round and left me going, ah. So my lovely mountain route turned into a road run, which wasn't ideal. And then my HIIT workout on the Thursday, I changed two of the exercises at the last minute because I was like, nope, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do them, so I'm going to adjust it and change it. And then the climbing on the Friday was just all right. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did the timing of the running out of time, was that just you couldn't complete all of your training, or was it that you didn't think that you were performing at your best because it was a strength session, so you should have done it earlier in the day so that you performed better? And the issue you had with the run on Tuesday, do you think it's going to be you'll benefit most from just having the structure and going, right, running in the rain, sod it, I'm running in the rain, and sticking to it? Or are you going to look at the weather forecast for next week and change it around?
I don't mind running in the rain. It was just came as a bit of a surprise. So I think just being a bit more prepared, having my torch charged before I go out, mm-hmm. and And looking at the weather forecast, it's not a big surprise. Whereas this week, you kind of like, I'll be able to anticipate it a little bit more, which will make a big difference. I think that's a big thing for me, is that I perform much better if I know what I'm about to do. Whereas, mm-hmm. and I've always been like that. I've been like that with climbing sessions before, you know, where if I'm at work all day and I know that I'm climbing in the evening, I'm preparing myself during the daytime for that climbing session in the evening. If I get to the end of the day and suddenly get the chance to go climbing, I always underperform in that time. So yeah, I think that will probably help. Getting into the rhythm of the structure will help quite a lot. Monday, there were just 9 exercises, and I think I got through 7 of them, and it was getting on for 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, look, I'm not carrying on training while my other half goes to bed. So I'm going to knock the last 2 on the head and readjust it for next week. And then hopefully this week coming, I'll do it in the middle of the daytime instead.
Was the length of the session, do you think the quantity of training in that session is appropriate?
Yeah, I think that was, for me, for what I want to achieve, I could certainly feel it in my chest the next day. My deltoids and my pecs were like, that real, you know, that training ache that you get, that kind of muscle ache after you've had a really good session of something. I had that on the Tuesday. And that's where the structure really worked, because I had that muscle ache in my chest from the chest muscles on the Tuesday, but then I worked my legs. And then Wednesday was a full rest day anyway. So by the time I came back into Thursday and then Friday for the climbing session, the chest muscle had recovered enough and I wasn't working tired muscles. So yeah, that structure's worked really, really well.
Okay, so do you, at the moment, your Friday climbing session is just about movement, having a bit of memory and enjoying, remembering being a climber. When you change that in the future to maybe be more strenuous or more climbing specific, do you think that the HIIT session the day before is going to impact the effectiveness of your training on Friday? And would you then want to swap it around? Or are you working different muscle groups? What do you think?
No, I don't think it would make any difference, mainly because of what I'm trying to achieve with the HIIT session. So the HIIT session is mainly a cardiovascular sort of exercise. And yes, it's working specific muscle groups, the core and things like that. But we're doing things like skipping, mountain climbers, burpees and press-ups. So it's all designed not to tire the muscles that I'm going to use in Friday as much. The idea of the HIIT session is to get used to the idea of work hard, rest a minute, work hard, rest a minute, which is climbing, really, isn't it? You're thinking about it, you know, you do a few moves and then you rest for a bit. And I think that's what I'm kind of replicating with the HIIT session. So the muscles that are being used specifically, I don't think would cross over that much.
Yeah, mate, it makes sense. It's just something to think about. If you were going to maximize your training 100,000,000%, there is a potential, maybe, if you notice that it's not completely rested, then you might swap it around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think that's one of the advantages of having a self-designed workout, is that you can adjust it and you can change it and you can play with it. I certainly felt on Friday that I felt rested enough. I didn't feel fatigued too much. I do cycle down to this board as well, so that helps as well.
Nice warm-up.
As a bit of a warm-up as well. So, but yeah.
Have you got orange? Or have you filled your board with orange?
No, actually, that's one thing that I haven't done. I found the idea of getting upstairs to the computer didn't work, so instead I've got a printed off sheet and I've gone old school like yourself, and it's absolutely plastered with notes.
Do you know what you're going to change?
Some subtle changes on Monday's power session. Some of the exercises have dropped. I've swapped out foot moves on the ladder, and instead I'm doing one-arm lock-offs on the rings instead. It's an eccentric exercise. So you pull up on the rings, so you lock your weight off onto the right arm, release the pressure in your left arm, and try and hold yourself as much as you can. So effectively you're trying a slow release as opposed to anything else. And then when you get to the bottom, you pull up on the other arm and repeat. I did a few at the end of the climbing session on Friday and realised that I'm like a million miles away from where I used to be. So I went, we'll adjust that. We'll change that. Just changed a couple of the exercises out on the HIIT session. Mm-hmm. Swapped out sit-ups for burpees.
Did you find the HIIT session interesting?
It has been. And I've been doing lots of reading on it. And I'm finding that I'm struggling to find any actual reputable sources to do any reading on the HIIT session. So I'm going to carry on reading and I'll come back to it next week. It is interesting. HIIT seems to be very popular with some. It's not very clear. It's not very consistent, the advice. So yes, look forward to that one next week.
Tune in next time.
Yeah. For Pete Edwards, a wonderful review of HIIT session reviews, basically.
That sounds useful. Cool.
How have you got on this week?
I'm really happy with how the progress has gone and how the sessions have all gone. Like you said, it's really nice to feel like I've got enough information and experience with the different sessions that I can listen to my body and I know the difference of when I should try hard, when I can try harder, and when I should just go, you know, I need to go and sleep or eat or do something else. And I have done a lot of calibrating this week and a few tweaks here and there. The amazing things that have happened this week for me: on Monday, the first day of my new training session, I had emergency tooth removal, which is very exciting. And so that was this is not the time to try hard. This is, body needs to redirect some effort into healing. So started a day late. Also the same day, I got given a date on Wednesday, 2 days away, for my surgery. So it's definitely not to be underestimated what the emotional stress, how that will have affected my sessions. But the joy of all that was all of this happened right at the beginning and I knew my body well enough to try hard at the right time. And the sessions themselves were simple enough that I really enjoyed not having to think too hard and just do the session. And it didn't conflict with me feeling stressed at all, and it just seemed to work really well.
Here's the big question, because obviously you paid for the training program from Neil Gresham, correct?
Correct.
And I'm curious as to how much of that you need to stick to and how much of that you're calibrating and adjusting and changing things to suit you specifically.
So yeah, I think that's a really good question. If I were to rigidly stick to a set program, I think it would be significantly less effective. The joy of this is Neil's obviously done this for a long time. He's a good coach. And there's a good amount of back and forth and some explanation of things to try, of how to calibrate different sessions. And just to go, we had to do quite a lot of work to go, well, how are we going to get around the fact that I've got one usable leg at the moment? And the really nice thing, for instance, this week to get it bob on is because the sessions I've had are day on, or the fingerboard sessions, day on, day off, day on, day off, means I've already in the week had 4 fingerboard sessions, which are the same format, the same exercises. And so I've been able to adjust a little bit each time. It feels like each time I do it, it's getting a bit better. So for instance, one of the changes I've done I've changed the time between sets from 2.5 minutes to 2 minutes because I felt like my fingers were just getting a bit too cold, because I'm I'm probably doing fewer pull-ups in the sets than I will be doing later, and maybe I'll have to adjust that again. But the kind of good idea is, while I have got the knowledge and I've got the what I should be trying to practice and what I should be trying to achieve in the training, I've also got the go back, so to somebody else, to an experienced expert coach, and to be able to collect the changes I've made and why I've changed the certain things. Even as one of my sessions is, I don't like this exercise, it doesn't make me happy. There's no point. For one of the things that's similar to HIIT, one of the exercises involved in that, and like, I think I can make this better by swapping that exercise for this exercise. And so I'm going to send all of this information back to Neil in an email straight after this phone call, and hopefully get some guidance of what he thinks of my changes. Then it would just make it a lot more deliberate of what I am practicing and what I'm trying to do. If you do exactly the same thing, you are not necessarily going to get better. So the misconception of, for instance, I'm not sure how to describe this. There's a lot of research gone into what makes an expert in sport and in chess and in music. And they looked into it and they came up with this statistic. Malcolm Gladwell came up with it. If you practice for 10,000 hours, you will be able to master a skill. It will be likely that you'll be able to master a skill. The people who actually did the research disagree with the statement completely. Anders Ericsson did the research in that. And his is, if what you're practicing is the wrong thing, then you're not actually going to get any better, or you're going to limit your ability to get better. So his argument is it has to be deliberate practice. So our training sessions are going to be best with a good coach guiding us, or us doing the research to come up with the practice that's going to be the most effective. And it's going to be a combination of intrinsic feedback and scientific based, this has worked for other people in the past. And it's sort of the relationship between a coach and an athlete of that back and forth, I just think is going to be the best answer. I'm changing a few things. Each session has not stayed the same. Every session has been adapted. And I'm looking forward to finding out what Neil thinks of the changes that I've done.
So it sounds like there's quite a few points that come out of that. And the first one is that it sounds like you're using the coach more as a sounding block and more as somebody to chat to, rather than a lecturer or a teacher who's going to dictate to you what you're going to be doing, which is exactly the way that I tend to coach personally. The other one that came back out of Gladwell's thing, we see this all the time in climbing and in academia, don't we? I mean, people love a good model. But the problem is that then the model tends to get simplified and then oversimplified and taken out of context. And the next thing you know, you've got this buzz phrase that's flying around and being used out of context. And you go, I remember when we talked about it on my Development Coach Award, we said that it wasn't practice makes perfect, it's practice makes permanence. And it's purposeful practice makes perfect. And that's the key. And I think that's one of the things that both of us have done this week, is that we've done that first week of our dedicated training programs. And then we've got to the end, or even all the way through, we're both looking at our programs and we're adjusting it and we're tweaking it. And we're going, is this working? Isn't it working? How do I feel? It's the big question for me. How do you feel when you're working on this? But yeah, I think intrinsic feedback is certainly the key, and making adjustments and stuff is certainly the key. And I think that's why downloading a set training program off the internet just doesn't work.
It absolutely might do more than nothing. If you are not an expert, if you're not an experienced trainer, you're not going to have the intrinsic feedback systems to know if that's the right amount of pain. you're not going to have as reliable a connection with your body if you're trying a new sport. So that's when you having the expert come in is fantastic. There are definitely ways to get into it, making sure your technique's right before trying really, really hard on some strength sessions.
That comes really back nicely back to that Gladwell model that we were talking about before, and the practice makes permanent. Part of the role of the coach is to tell you that you are doing it right and you have got the technique right, exactly like you say. And so the coach is making sure that you're not making permanent something which is suboptimal. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. Yeah, it's difficult doing it from this distance. So having a coach in the same room as you certainly makes this easier, but I think you've got to go with what you're given. So having the discussion of and the models, maybe observing some films of form, getting descriptive when you or I are trying to coach somebody from behind a laptop, it's pushing us to improvise a little bit. Having an expert coach guide you to what is, I really think, is very, very, very valuable.
It's certainly underrated. The idea of coaching, yeah, in the UK is just simply,
certainly in the UK, yeah,
wildly underrated.
Okay, if you were to say from this week your top takeaway tip that's going to help you for next week, what would you say it was?
Ooh, top takeaway tip: listen to yourself, listen to your body, listen to how it feels, not just as it's happening, but in the subsequent days afterwards. I think if you're going to go in for this sort of training program that repeats over a course of weeks, then listening and making notes on what's happening the day it happens, the next day and the next day, and keeping track of things so that you can adjust it, being flexible enough to tweak and adjust, but not just making wholesale changes over and over again.
So what you're saying is listen to yourself, believe in the intrinsic feedback, and change one thing at once.
Yes, make small changes. So go on, what's your take home for the week?
I would say mine's very similar to yours. I've really enjoyed being able to trust my body and adjust my sessions accordingly. I would go one step further and really emphasize the skill that I'm developing, which is patience. It's the whole picture of the whole training program for the next 10 weeks for me personally. It's the overall picture and not starting too big. Each of the sessions feel smaller than they could be, but it's meant that it's very manageable and achievable. And I'm anticipating next week this patience is going to pay dividends. I've had a bit of a practice with having a tooth out on Monday and listening to the stresses in my body. And in 2 days' time, I've got a general anaesthetic and I've got knee surgery. So part of me, the old me, would be like, wow, great, I'll probably take Wednesday off and I'll be back on it on Thursday. And now I'm just being a bit more realistic. What you were saying right at the beginning of this discussion of how you feel like your training's better with anticipation of what's coming up, what your plan is and what might affect it. I think no matter how hard I think it's going to be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, it's probably going to be harder. And trust the intrinsic feedback and enjoy the process. Be patient. It's worth it in the end. So what was my top tip then? Top tip, same as yours. Believe the value of your intrinsic feedback and value patience.
I think you're totally right on patience, and yeah, definitely. I mean, no one's going to get significantly stronger after one fingerboard session. It is certainly in for the long haul. And I think the thing is with training programs is that, yes, you do need to adjust them, but they do take a while to get into as well. Like, I felt great by the end of last week, and I certainly felt like I was much more worked than I had been in weeks, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to magically get me above that AA threshold in a single week. These training programs last for quite a long time, and I think patience is definitely a really important point. Yeah, totally.
So, tomorrow, that is your run day. Have you looked at the weather forecast?
I have. It's supposed to be lashing it down again. I think it's supposed to be raining again every day for the next however long. But it's okay. I don't mind. I'm quite happy running in the rain. I've charged my torch, though, this time, so hopefully I can actually, you know, complete the whole run in light.
Enjoy. Let's try the same deal about this time next week. So
yes.
Sunday, Monday, somewhere around the long. But I will obviously keep harassing you, but I might be distracted for a couple of days.
Let me know how the knee surgery goes. Keep me updated with how the knee surgery all comes together. I hope that it all goes as well as it possibly can, really.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, so, I'll speak to you soon.
And then next week, we'll do a review of HIIT sessions as well.
Review of HIIT sessions and how to train after general anaesthetic.
Yeah. I look forward to that one. I shall speak to you next week.
Speak to you next week. Thanks, Pete.
This podcast was produced by Prowess Climbing Coaching and Far Out Pursuits and featured Pete Edwards and Sally Lyle. Edit was by Pete Edwards. For more information on the topics discussed or for help in designing your own training program, please visit prowesscoaching.co.uk and remember to tune in for the next episode.